I'm Haskell Roach, and my friends call me Hack. You want to know about Girling's agriculture? Well, it was farming that brought settlers here in the first place. About 1854, my grandfather, Wash Ruth, acquired a section of land that ran from Central Park to First Street. Even those without much experience figured this land was fertile, and the settlers who didn't get it free got it awful cheap. Back then, we raised livestock for income and planted only what corn, cotton, oats, wheat, fruits, and vegetables we needed right here. Remember that before the railroads came, the only way to haul stuff in or out was by wagon, and the dirt roads were pretty bad. Cattle, horses, pigs, and sheep could furnish part of their own transportation when we sold them. Farming changed a lot when the Civil War broke out. We began growing more cotton, which was either hauled out in bales or converted to cloth and clothing for the Confederates. When the war ended, we had lots of newcomers from states where cotton had been the cash crop, and naturally they planted it here. In 1867, we got our first cotton gin in the neighborhood. The railhead in Dallas helped some when the trains came in 1872, but we still had to get from here to there and back, so we thought a lot about bulk and weight of our shipments. Then, in 1886, two railroads crossed right here, and agriculture of all kinds got a big boost because we finally had reliable transportation. Cotton production took off, mostly. Trouble was that good prices for one year encouraged land speculation and extra cotton planting, which sometimes flooded the next year's market and caused a collapse. Bouncing prices were bad enough for landowners, but it was especially hard on tenant farmers and local creditors. Tenant farmers, also known as sharecroppers, usually worked on the halves, as we called it, with landowners who provided a house and some acreage for a man and his family. The bigger the family, the better, because a sharecropper kept half of what was earned from the effort, and the kids were the cheapest farmhands. Our banks and stores carried a tab on the sharecroppers and many of the owners from planting time to harvest. Sometimes harvest proceeds covered the debt, and sometimes they didn't. Foreclosures could follow, particularly from two bad years in a row, and stores could close. In 1919, these problems closed one of our two banks. About that time, the tractor began to replace the mule, while the combine began to replace the binder and thrashing machine for harvesting grain. Those were our biggest farming changes since the railroads, because machines could do the work of 8 or 10 hands on the average farm, but they also reduced the need for tenant farmers. By the end of the 1920s, we were pretty well mechanized, and our farmers had started rotating some of their cotton with a new crop, onions. Several local men promoted onions and brought in the slips. Sometimes these baby onions were provided for a share of the harvest, which was made with the help of migrant hands. During the 1930s, we even had Onion Queen beauty pageants, and I could watch the work at the onion sheds from the front platform of my feed store on what's now Main Street. With the defense built up for World War II, we started growing houses and industrial plants on the farmland. That was less work and more profit, so agricultural activity declined. By 1960, our corn mill and most of the area cotton gins were closed. We had horses for recreation, and a few cattle still grazed on pastures around Garland. But some of that was done for agricultural tax exemptions on the properties until they could be sold for development. Garland got to be about industry, not agriculture. You might say that we'd come full circle in a century, starting with settlers raising livestock, then developing an agricultural crop economy through the railroads, then back to livestock again. Funny how history tends to repeat itself.